Let's have a little Bible reading about the life of God as given to us. In the third chapter of the Gospel according to John, the Lord Jesus tells Nicodemus that he must be born from above. It isn't enough to be born of the flesh. We need to be born of the Spirit of God. We need to be born into God's family. And in so being born into God's family, we receive God's life. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then the last verse of chapter 3 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And I suppose you know that wonderful 24th verse of chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life. Now, I think definitions are in order. What do we mean by saying eternal life, everlasting life? Are we just talking about its duration? I hardly think so. In fact, the Lord Jesus is defined in the first verse of the first epistle of John, and again in the 20th verse of the last chapter of 1 John, the Lord Jesus himself is defined as eternal life. The life of God is seen in a person. When the Lord Jesus Christ lived here among men, when he was here on this earth, he was God manifest in the flesh. And the life of God is eternal life. The Lord Jesus Christ is eternal life. That's why he says, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now let's look at it from this viewpoint. First of all, you and I do not have this kind of life by nature. God created man in the first place, capable of enjoying God, of having fellowship with God. He was right with God, but something happened. God isn't responsible for the condition man is in today. We're like this because of sin. And we're told in Ephesians 2 and 1, and you hath he made alive who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, we're said to be alienated from the life that is in Christ. That's why the Lord Jesus said, ye must be born from above. We do not have the life of God in us by nature. Now, I don't believe in the dogma, the doctrine of the universal fatherhood of God and the universal brotherhood of man, for the simple reason that it is not taught in the Bible. I know that there is a sense in which we're all related, because we're all created of God, but we are not the children of God except by faith in Christ Jesus, according to the book of Galatians. In fact, the Lord Jesus said about some who were very religious leaders, he said, ye are of your father the devil. And in that same second chapter of Ephesians, he says that we were all by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Quite evidently, we cannot be the children of God and the children of wrath and the children of the devil. So we need God's life. Now, Christ himself is the source of this life. He is the source of all life. He's the creator of all. The first chapter of John establishes the fact that everything was created by him and through him. And in the fifth of John, he made the stupendous claim, that the Father has given to the Son to have life in himself, even as the Father has life in himself. That's why the Lord Jesus is called in the third chapter of Acts, in verse 15, the Prince of Life. He's the source, he's the prince, he's the ruler. He's the one from whom we must receive life. Now, how do we receive life? Now, I know that there are some who believe that we received eternal life by baptism when we were little babies. But what does the Word of God say? Well, first of all, we're told in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we read together there in John's Gospel that we receive eternal life by believing in him. I like the way it's put in the first chapter of John, in the 12th and 13th verses. He tells us as plainly as word can tell us, as many as receive him, the Lord Jesus, to them gave he the right to become the children of God, even to them which believe on his name, which were born. You and I are born when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. Now, what does it mean to receive him? Well, if you were ill, and a doctor was brought to your bedside, and the doctor said to you, I think we can fix you up all right, if you're willing to follow my course of treatment, and you say, all right, doctor, you take over, what have you done? You've accepted a doctor. In marriage, you accept a life mate. It isn't so difficult. Understand this? You simply receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. In other words, you put your trust in him, you put your confidence in him, you depend upon him, and he says, as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the children of God. Now, when we receive the Lord Jesus, he gives us assurance that we do have eternal life. 1 John 5 and 13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that ye have eternal life. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you just thought that God had forgiven you. Maybe you didn't really know that you do have, at the present moment, eternal life. Well, read 1 John 5 and 13, and then believe it. And thank God that you do have, at the present moment, eternal life. Then we're to enjoy this life by feeding upon Christ, who is the bread of life. You see, when a baby is born, it has life, but it doesn't have much development yet. It doesn't know very much. It can't do very much. And that life, which is just as real in a tiny baby as in its father or grandfather, has to be developed. We need to grow. That's how we come to have life abundantly. Now, the effects of eternal life, always of interest to us. First of all, a new relationship has been established. Because we have the life of God in our souls, we are the children of God. We don't know yet what we're going to be like, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. The reason being that we are like him now. We have the same life of God in our souls that Christ himself possessed. And with that comes the new standing. Because we are the children of God, we have a new relationship to God. We are able to come into his presence and speak freely to him and call him our Father. And, of course, with this new relationship comes a new safety. It's wonderful to have, to be bound up in the same bundle of life with him. With that new life comes a new nature. Galatians 2:20 tells us that we have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, says Paul, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This new life even fits us for the new sphere. You could never go to heaven as a mere human being. But when God takes us to heaven, he's going to even fit our bodies for that new place. All of this has come because we are now the children of God. We have God's life. A new fellowship has been established. We have fellowship with him because we have the very life of God in our beings. He understands us and we understand him and we have fellowship together. Christ, who is our life, some of these days is going to appear, and then we're going to appear with him in glory. Let's thank him for this wonderful possession of the life of God. Our Father, we do thank thee. Thou hast given thy Son for us, and in him, the very life of God in our souls. We thank thee that we belong to thee. We ask thy blessing now, in our Savior's precious name. Amen.